let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Faith Walk, a walk from darkness to light, a gripping memoir by Bonnie Lou Oliver, depicts her spiritual, emotional, and intellectual journey during her growing years. The early part of the book details a difficult marriage during the Vietnam War. Along the way, she develops a strong relationship with God, who she got to know through an innocent man in prison. She goes back to college to learn enough biblical law to battle the courts for an innocent man. The details of prison life and the personalities of the prisoners she meets are fascinating. And it's in that setting that the book takes its most interesting turn as she battles injustice. Diverse would best describe Bonnie. Her story challenges many, especially the men living out their sentences in prison, whether on death row or spending life in prison. She meets a man who is truly innocent. Not believing the injustice she witnessed, she takes up the gauntlet to fight his case. She believed making a difference in another's life would make her life worth living. She takes the knowledge she gained from extensive study up to the governor's office, building a rapport that also gains respect. Justice. That's all she ever wants is justice. Faith Walk, a walk from darkness to light, is her story, growth and redemption, a journey of finding self-strength. Bonnie Lou Oliver joins us now on This Week in America. Bonnie, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
This is such an important story, a powerful story that you tell. And I mentioned a little bit of your background. Did you ever see yourself as being an author? Did you ever think someday I would be a published author?
Never, especially seeing the struggles that I had in academia. When I started college, I had the abilities of a fourth grader, reading and writing abilities. Now, math and science, I was okay in, but my reading and writing abilities was very poor, and I was only allowed into college at Auburn University's where I started because I had a very smart husband, and they encouraged husbands and wives to go to school together. And I was on probation, academic probation, always.
No, and it's interesting. You ended up getting a master's degree, so you really turned that around in your life, and you've done so many positive things, and we'll discuss those as we talk about Bonnie's book, Faith Walk, A Walk from Darkness to Light. When you cried out for God's perfect will and purpose to be fulfilled in your life, did you think there would be such upheaval? Because that really started a lot of things happening in your life, didn't it?
Tremendous, tremendous amount of things. I was just about driven out of my job. I had to give up everything I owned in order to be able to follow the call of God. And one of the things that I think people need to know is that once you've made a commitment to the Lord, there are two things to keep in mind in order to be able to know that you're on track, regardless of what is going on around you. You know, the earth could be caving in around you, but as long as you are yielded to the Holy Spirit, you know, and God's voice, then what you follow is that peace that passes all understanding. And it could be dismay all around you, but as long as you have that peace inside you, then you know that it's time for you to move forward and go in the direction that you believe the Lord is leading you to go in. And it's going to be peace that's going to guide you in everything.
It's interesting how that impacted your life. We all go through upheaval. We go through turmoil, and we sometimes wonder how we get through it. Well, Bonnie went through that just like we did and came out very successfully and helped so many people in the process. Her book is Faith Walk, A Walk from Darkness to Light. You'll find it at Amazon. Prozolpublishing.com is the, and we got all this on our website. And Bonnie's website, which is BonnieOliverFaithWalk.com. We'll give you all of that during the course of the program. It's available on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Along the way, you had a vision of your grandmother. What did you think when she told you, and you talk about this in the book, your job is not done yet. What was that like when you have this vision and her message?
Well, the time that I had that, I was in a lot of despair, okay, over my breakup of my marriage. And my ex had picked up my children to go on a holiday journey, and I was no longer could I afford to buy Christmas presents for my kids. So I was alone that Christmas, and I just didn't want to wake up in the morning, but I was too coward to commit suicide because of my children. So as I went to bed that night, I got this vision, and it started as a kaleidoscope And then it turned into Jesus's face. And then I saw a path and I started running up the path and I'm thinking, oh, I made it, you know, in the right direction.
Yes.
And I saw my grandma at the right hand of Jesus. And I said, oh, grandma, take me with you. Take me with you. And she put her hand up. She didn't say a word, but she put her hand up to me and she says, go back. Your job is not finished yet. And I went to sleep. I had the restful sleep and I woke up in the morning. I'm thinking, what did she mean by that? I'm nobody. I, you know, what can I do? You know, what kind of job did was there for me? I didn't know the Lord at the time. And it was a few years later when I discovered just what that job was. And that was battling injustice.
And you did that successfully. This is all Bonnie's story in her book, Faith Walk, A Walk from Darkness to Light. With so much injustice in society today, what made you think, what made Bonnie think, without any legal background, this was a new territory for you, what made you think that you could actually make a difference? Where did that come from? So many of us would go, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm out of my element. I don't even know where to start. You jumped in. Why?
You know, throughout history, you hear about one person making a difference. Sometimes that difference was a good difference for society, and sometimes that difference was not good for society. And in each case, usually we don't know about it till years later, whether the difference had a positive or negative impact. And I didn't know what I was doing. I knew nothing about the law. I trusted completely in the system. I believed that those judges, those prosecutors and the lawyers and everyone, they swore oaths to uphold the law. And I believed that they had the integrity to be able to do that. So I thought, well, if I'm one voice and I can convince these people, and I'm not a confrontational person and I'm not a combative person, but if I could convince these people that this man is truly innocent, because everyone around him knew he was innocent, then maybe I could make a difference in this man's life. You know, I didn't know him before I started teaching at City Jail.
You know, it's interesting because you came into his life, which was a true blessing, and turned his life around. He didn't obviously know who you were. He's looking for somebody to come in and help him. And here's this woman he doesn't know. This is not like F. Lee Bailey come again, some prominent lawyer that knows, has the skills to navigate a courtroom. Here's someone that doesn't know a whole lot about the legal system, except she's convinced that she can do something positive. What was running through your mind when not only you got the staff members at the jail, they all kept telling you that Gregory was innocent, the bailiff at the court did as well. What was going through your mind when all of these people are reinforcing your belief that Gregory is, in fact, an innocent man?
Well, you know, I kept wondering if you folks all believe in his innocence, then why is he where he is? Why has he sat here 22 months waiting trial for something his mentally impaired brother did? You know, yes. Why is he in here? And I can remember when I first met him, the very first day I met him, I was teaching in the adult basic education and GED program at City Jail. And he didn't belong up there because he already had his high school equivalency, and so did his brother. And they allowed both brothers to be in that room because that was their chance to see each other, because they had to keep Ronald on Melaril, which is an antipsychotic drug, in order to keep him under control, because he would fly off in violent rages. So that was the only time Greg could see him. And when I first met Greg, I really thought he was toying with me, because his mannerism was different than the rest of the inmates. He walked in a room, he had a smile on his face. Now, jail is not a place where you walk, yes, around with a smile on your face, you know? But he had this demeanor, he had this gentleness, he had this aura about him, you know, that I would say that was special. And I couldn't put my finger on it. And then all these people are talking all these positive things about this man. And I'm thinking, well, why is he still here? Why? And I couldn't figure out. And they would tell me, this happens all the time, Bonnie. Well, it shouldn't happen anytime.
Exactly.
If you know he's innocent, why is it happening?
You know, so, it's fascinating. And we are doing a separate interview, and you'll find all of this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, with Gregory Oliver, talking about his book, Walking Free from Bondage to Liberty. These books go really hand in hand. You've got Bonnie, who's really trying to do something to right a wrong, and you've got Gregory, who's the victim of this wrong. How difficult was it to not give up as you go through this? There's a checks and balances here. If one court gets it wrong, you go to another court. You can appeal it there. They can go back, review the case, and turn it over. You're mentioning everybody is saying Gregory is, in fact, innocent, yet nothing has ever, they've not gone back, looked at the merits of the case, and overturned it up to that point. Was it difficult to keep going?
Yes. It was extremely different. There were several times during the course of over 20 years that I wanted to just throw in the towel and say the heck with it. You know, Bonnie, what are you doing here? I mean, it was very, very discouraging. And as the Lord would have it, I would read a headline of a newspaper. I would overhear a conversation. I would see something on television that would strike something that would cause me to go back to the transcripts. And when I go back to the transcripts, I would find something else that they did wrong in his case. Now, at the time, I was learning biblical law at Wheaton College. So our law, our legal system was based on the Judeo-Christian law, okay? And it had its foundation there. So when I'd run into things in the scriptures, and then I'd go to the case, and then I would write a letter, you know, and I would argue that point. Okay, I would not spout Christianity in the letter. I would just spout truth, sincerity, you know, that sort of thing.
Yes.
I also had to learn how to write the courts, because in the beginning I was angry, and there was anger in my letters. Okay, and anyone reading it could see it. But then I had to learn to just speak facts, tell the truth with all the conviction that I could, and maybe someday someone would pay attention to what I had to say.
You know, there are so many messages in the book, and that's one that you just said there was anger. The message, at least to me, is we're not going to accomplish anything when we communicate anger. And you had to go back, and you were filled with anger, but you took that out. Talking, writing as a rational person, obviously that got the attention of people, where anger, they can tell anger when they read it, and they discount it, I think, subconsciously, at least in the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, they did. They would, you know, she's a distressed person, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, it was kind of disheartening. But each step, I could see a light at the end of the tunnel, even though each step compounded the lie from the concocted story that they built against Gregory. You know, because it made our case stronger. Each time they added to the original lie, it made our case stronger. So we had to move in steps and stages in order to be able to expose the truth.
Yes.
In a positive way.
You know, you mentioned something there about how long this journey was. I want to go back to that. How long a time did you have invested in this case in proving Gregory's innocence?
Over 20 years.
Well, that's what I thought you said. I mean, that's incredible, the persistence. You really believed in this. The book is Faith Walk, A Walk from Darkness to Light, written by Bonnie Lou Oliver, our guest on the program. Book at Amazon, the usual places. Bonnie's website is bonnieoliverfaithwalk.com. One chapter, you talk about the army wife. How do you think that might have prepared you for what God's purpose was in your life?
Well, frankly, I loved the military life. Okay, I really and truly did. And I grew so much during that season of my life, though at times it was very, very difficult. But the thing about being a military wife is you never know when there's going to be a deployment. You never know necessarily when they're going to go out in the field. You're going to be alone at home on the home front, taking care of your children, et cetera, et cetera. But what you have is a cohesive community. OK, whether you're your husband or wife, a lot of women are going in the field now, whether your husband or wife is being deployed, there is always this camaraderie that you have, and you always have the military resources to depend on. So it's a very sterile life. It's a very regimented life. I liked the regimentation. It was a very wholesome life for raising children, you know, especially when you lived on post.
And I would assume in preparing legal battles and court cases, you have that, okay, I can't drift here. I have a purpose and I have to follow through with this. You mentioned that you were jailed. How did that come about? How did that come about?
Oh, I was at Wheaton College at the time, and I was studying Martin Luther King, and I saw this picture of King being arrested in Manhattan, down in Birmingham, Alabama, by a bunch of white policemen. And I kept drawing to it. And I thought I was getting a message from this. And it was like, I was saying I had to be jailed for justice's sake. And I'm thinking, oh, no, that's not me. I don't have to go to jail. You got to be kidding me, you know? So anyway, I prayed about it, and I prayed hard about it, and I kept getting the same message. You have to go to jail for justice's sake. And I finally relinquished, and I said, okay, God, it's your will, not mine, okay? And if that has to be, that has to be. But you've got to confirm it in the mouth of two or three, because I'm not going to go just on this. Well, that night, as a matter of fact, my neighbors invited me up to watch a movie. It was called Cry Freedom. It was about Stephen Biko, the apartheid leader who was martyred and jailed for, his actions for civil rights. And I thought, oh, my God, there's confirmation number one. I have to be jailed for justice's sake. But I didn't know what it was going to be about. Then I went to church, and a word was spoken over me, and it said, three people are coming against you, and I have blessed you and ordained you for this mission. And when they said three people, I saw three appeal court judges coming against me. And I thought, there's confirmation number two. So I knew, and I prayed hard, that I had to be thrown in jail, not knowing the circumstances around it. And I'm not going to tell you what they threw me in jail for, but I was arrested 6 hours after the appeal hearing, first appeal hearing for Gregory. And one of the judges got very indignant, and he got extremely mad at my letter writing because I argued against what the state was arguing. And I put together quite a brief, so much so that he thought I was a lawyer. and he gave my Gregory's public defender a very difficult time. And then 6 hours later, I'm arrested at the prison while I was updating Gregory, you know, on the appeal and everything. But I won't tell you what I was arrested for, but I'll let you know it was a rigged thing. Okay?
I can believe that. When you challenge people in authority, some don't like being challenged. That's why they wear the robe, and they think it's a little more than just symbolic. They think they actually, well, I'll stop right there. The book is called Faith Walk, A Walk from Darkness to Light. Bonnie Lou Oliver, our guest on the program. Amazon, PraiselPublishing.com, and I'll spell all of that later. And, of course, Bonnie's website, BonnieOliverFaithWalk.com. Time going by so quickly, so much to talk about. In the scriptures say you visited me in prison. You did that successfully. You made some changes in lives with Gregory and other people you touched. Is that for everybody, do you think?
No, it's not. It's. I know the Bible says that, okay? And it said, but it also says to take care of the widows and the children. It also says to feed the elderly. It also says to do to take care of the poor. Okay, it says those things, but we are not all called for all of those things. Okay, there are those who are called to go to the prisons. There are those who are called to take care of the elderly. There are those who called for this or for that reason. But in order to be able to go into prison, you have to be called, because it's a world you can't imagine, you know, with bars and people who have committed violent crimes. I mean, in the jail that I worked in, 85% of the crimes were murder and or rape done by these men. And 95% of the prison population was black, which that was a statistic that surprised me, because that's one of the first things I asked when I went there. And I said, where are all the white men? That was the first question
yes,
I asked.
Yes.
And they said, well, they're in the county. But see, St. Louis, like Washington, D.C., does not have a county. It's his own entity, like Washington, D.C. is. So because the population in St. Louis was majority black, then the jail was filled with black. But now out in the county, the population was primarily white.
With us on the program is Bonnie Lou Oliver. The book is Faith Walk, A Walk from Darkness to Light. All of those stories and so much more in Bonnie's book. The book's available at a website, BonnieOliverFaithWalk.com. A couple minutes left in the end. So many more questions, but just as we wrap up here, what would you say that Faith Walk meant to you in writing the book, in doing the Faith Walk, in living this experience? What has it meant for you?
Everything. Everything. And what I mean by that, it gave me a reason to live. Okay. It gave me a purpose. It helped me to discover my purpose in life, why I was put on this earth. And with knowing that, that makes life worth living. When you know that your purpose is being fulfilled, that God has called you to do. And it's what gets you up in the morning. It's what keeps you going. As a matter of fact, it's even what keeps you useful.
Well, I can believe that. I can sense the passion as you're talking and telling the story. And it's interesting how it happens. It's not something that you're born with, is it? It's something that developed over time. And once you found it, it motivated your life, and you did good things. And as we talk with Gregory, we'll find out what exactly you meant to his life at that time. A minute or so here at the end, what do you hope the people take away from Faith Walk? What is the message? And boy, I'm thinking there's so many in your book, but what are the message or several messages you hope people take away from reading Faith Walk?
Well, Faith Walk is a journey. It's a journey of finding truth. It's a journey of finding truth in the state of Missouri versus Oliver, but it's also a journey of finding truth in who I am, because I was always under the control of other people, you know, through my younger years. And it was when I found the Lord, then I became my own person as I finally discovered who I was and what my call in life was. And it was a wonderful experience.
Well, it was a life-changing experience. In the book, we find that Bonnie finally reached a comfort level in her life that she had been looking for years to find, and it came after years of upheaval. So it was a sort of a building block when she gets to this point. The book is appropriately called Faith Walk, A Walk from Darkness to Light. Bonnie Lou Oliver is the author, our guest on the program. Book at Amazon, proislepublishing.com. That's P-R-O-I-S-L-E. And Bonnie's website. Great information there. You can order the book as well, BonnieOliverFaithWalk.com. Of course, all of that information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Bonnie, the time has gone by way too quickly. I encourage people to read the book. It's very inspirational, powerful on many levels. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you.
It has been our pleasure. Bonnie Lou Oliver, Faith Walk, A Walk from Darkness to Light, book available at all the usual places. Bonnie's website, BonnieOliverFaithWalk.com. Of course, more on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.